Hello and welcome to another edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very special bullet-ridden top five for you, Steve. What is that top five?
We're doing our top five war movies with the caveat, no Saving Private Ryan, because that's clearly at least top five.
But we got a lot of podcasts coming at you, so without further ado, let's start the show. Steve, right now, as we speak, paused on my PS3 is GTA 5.
Surprise, surprise.
I know.
Wow.
Just like the last few weeks. But this is different. It is right before the last big heist.
Ooh.
Yeah. I got two missions left.
Wow, you're motoring.
I know. Motoring.
What's your price for flight?
I'm glad you picked up that joke, because then I realized I didn't know the next line.
I saw your lips. You're like, wah, wah, wah. There are words. I just don't know them.
Just don't know them at all.
Yeah.
So as soon as you leave, I'm going to pick up that controller, and I'm going to town.
I may not leave, and I may just watch you do the final heist.
Now, spoiler-free question here. You can either go the subtle route or the obvious route on the last heist. Which one
are
you
going to ask me a question like that?
Yes.
You're going to ask me that.
Obviously, the obvious route.
Obviously. What is the route that allows me to kill the most people and things?
Oh, all the people of Los Santos?
That's the one I choose.
Got it.
Unless I'm playing like Metal Gear Solid or something like that, I will always choose the let's blow shit up route.
Mm-hmm.
And usually even playing a game like Metal Gear Solid, I'll start out like, now let's blow everything up. Those are my favorite moments in Metal Gear, is when they're like, look, let's forget it, no more sneaking, let's just blow shit up. We'll go back to sneaking in a few minutes.
That's awesome, because even in games like Metal Gear, they have those missions, like you just said. It's like, well, you know what, Snake, why don't you just take this TNT,
yeah,
and blow up the entire complex.
Why don't you drive the Metal Gear and destroy this facility? Awesome. But I have a question for you now. When we did our top five video game moments / levels, you chose, I think it was your number three,
mm-hmm,
is it called Four Leaf Clover?
Yes.
From Grand Theft Auto 4, which, mm-hmm, is essentially, it's a heist mission before GTA 5, obviously.
Sure.
And I had said, oh, Wes, then you're just going to love GTA 5 if you love this particular mission.
Sure.
Has that held true?
Well, of course, I love GTA 5. However, the excitement and, like, my heart was just pounding when I was playing Four Leaf Clover because, you know, the cops just keep on coming and they're relentless. Yeah. No heist, no mission really has had my heart a-pounding like that.
Okay. So, okay.
But then again, I'm about to start the big one.
Sure.
And I am going the obvious route.
Excellent.
So I'm very excited.
Well, Wes and I just came back from one of our old roommates' weddings this weekend. Mm-hmm. We were in lovely Dubuque, Iowa.
Ah, Dubuque.
Which actually, I made fun of Dubuque quite a bit going over there. It's like, I'm going to Dubuque. In the cornfields or whatever. Dubuque's actually kind of a cool little town.
Yeah, it's really pretty. The drive there especially was just beautiful.
Yeah, really? So I know we sound like, driving down these these tree-lined two-lane highway, it was beautiful. Oh, I only had to stop for two naps. Dubuque, actually a decent little town. I was surprised. But the reason I bring it up is, you know, there's the normal things that happen at the wedding. You know, the ceremony.
Oh, sure.
That happened. The father, daughter, mother, son dance, all that. Their first dance. Mm-hmm. Everything was beautiful, lovely, fun time with friends and family. Everything is great.
Everyone was drinking, dancing. Everything ran like clockwork.
Yeah, I got to play with one of my friends, like, 5-year-old kid. Oh, actually, that's a cute little story real quick. So,
okay.
Our friend's son, who's 4 or 5 years old, he's in that, he's in the perfect age of kids that I love, where they're old enough where they can, like, fall down and and they won't cry immediately. They'll be like, oh, no, we're just playing. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then you can pick them up and you can, like, hold them in the air. And they're like, yeah, I love Ninja Turtles. And you're like, yes. You and I are the same. He's at that perfect age.
Yeah.
So we're playing, and the wedding is up on the second floor, and there's it's kind of a grand staircase that goes up there. And this young boy, he was like, hey, do you want to go fight the robots with me? And we had really never spoken before, and that was the first thing he said to me. I was like, fuck yeah, I want to fight the robots with you, little kid. Let's do this. But I told him, of course I was going to play, but I was like, hey, man, I got to tell you, I'm really scared of robots. And he, as the sweetest young man, he goes, it's okay. They're not really robots. They're alligators. And I was like, ah, man, I got to tell you, I'm even more scared of alligators. He goes, oh, no, that's okay. They're not really alligators. They're just flowers. So then he and I...
I thought you were going to be like, no, you didn't say flowers, did you?
So he and I fought robot, alligator, flower monsters.
That's adorable.
And we did that, which was pretty fucking awesome.
That sounds awesome. I love how that kid saw in you a kindred spirit.
Absolutely. It was super fun. But the reason I brought up the wedding in the first place is one of the coolest things that's ever happened at a wedding while I was there happened. And it's at the very end of the night, the closing song.
I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
So, you know, everyone has had their dances. You know, you've done the dances you want to have with your wife or your girlfriend or, you know, whatever it is. Everyone's nicely toasted at this point. The DJ says, okay, it's like, everyone gather. Last chance on the dance floor, guys. We're going to play the final song. And he plays Piano Man by Billy Joel, which we all know and we all love.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets out there. And it was not choreographed. It's not how this was supposed to be. Nope. Just how it was. That everyone got in a giant circle on the dance floor and just kind of was doing the arm around one another, kind of swinging, singing the song together. And then the bride and groom, they stepped out towards the middle of the dance floor. So they're dancing together. I guess now for the second time as husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Completely surrounded by everybody that they know and love.
And of course the bride starts tearing up. I think everyone got a little misty, but the bride visibly was like crying from emotion.
The most genuine tears of joy that I have ever seen. And then our friend, you know, he raises his hands like, come on! And then everybody comes out onto the dance floor now, dancing, you know, with a friend, with their significant other, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the last, like, third of the song. And the last verse, like, sing us a song, your piano man! And we're all singing it together. And many people are crying, all for the right reasons.
Exactly.
And nobody planned for this to happen. It just happened. It was so awesome.
It was. I love moments like that in life that come directly out of a movie.
Yeah.
And they happen in life. And then you try to tell them to other people later. It's like, no, it couldn't have been that cool.
It was that cool.
Trust us, it was that cool.
In fact, it was cooler than what I'm saying.
Exactly.
It was awesome.
Oh, my God. I just...
And it left...
So
and it
good.
It was almost like having, like, a really delicious meal. You're like, that was really good. And then on your way out, they're like, you know what? Here's a free dessert. And you're like, this dessert is fucking awesome! Oh my God, I just want to kill robot crocodile flower monsters! It's so good! And so you leave on this just super high note of, like, this is, I love Dubuque and I love everybody I know and, oh!
This drive is beautiful and hold on, I need to pull over and take a nap.
So it was great. I think we've all been to the wedding. They're like, oh my God, sweetheart, can we go? Yeah. Baby, I'm so tired.
Oh God, I gotta go to the hotel.
It's just great, man. It was just really great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And a beautiful wedding again. You can totally tell these two people are theater people because the wedding ran like clockwork.
Absolutely. Perfect.
Everything was great, man. It was awesome. I have to mention this before we go on. I don't know if you'll hear this on the audio capture, but one of my dogs, the grumpy old man trapped in a little dog, whenever a toy gets stuck behind one of the couches here at Five and Out Studios, he likes to stand near the back of the couch and whine until someone gets it for him. We have indulged him in the past. No longer. So if you hear whining, don't worry. We're not torturing a dog. We're just trying to teach him that he cannot whine like this and expect to get what he wants.
Okay, or it's just me whining.
Or it's just Steve whining.
But you have to choose. Is it adorable puppy whining? Or is it old man Steve whining? And that's a dog barking.
That is a dog barking.
That's not me.
That was me, actually. And there they go.
So Best Buy sent me a thing this week that was like, come on in the next couple of days and we'll give you either $5,000 or $5,000.
Let me guess. What did you get, Steve?
Five! Five. Just five.
Five.
Just five. But regardless, the only way to find out is to go to the store. And it's not that far on my way home from work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I'll go in. Worst case scenario, they give me $5 and I'll buy something at $5.
Sure.
Or I'll just fucking leave. Whatever.
It's like, you can keep the $5. You obviously need it more than I do.
So,
slam.
So I go there and they're like, okay, it's $5. I'm like, all right, well, let me see what the hell I get for $5. It's not a whole lot at Best Buy.
Oh, no.
But I went into the old video game section.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a game that was like $9. There's one I've been wanting to play for a very long time. And it is Deus Ex.
Oh,
Human Revolution.
I've wanted to play that game, too.
Yeah, it's one of those games that has very much flown under the radar for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember checking, you know, like a game rankings list or whatever, and seeing that in basically like the top 20 PS3 games.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is this game? And then I saw it there for like $9.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is this the same $9? This can't be right.
Yeah.
Right? So I pulled out my phone, checked, and that is the game. So with my coops, it was like $4.50 or something. Like,
that's great. That's awesome.
So I have yet to play it. But so now that the cold snap is here and it's only like 28 degrees in Chicago.
Sure.
Now I have something to warm myself by for a little while.
By the way, so glad you came out tonight during this cold snap. I know how fucking awful it is outside.
Oh, it's bad.
It's terrible. How long on average do you take little Luna Pooch out for nowadays?
My little Luna Pooch, now that it is, when it is below freezing, I mean, it's about a 5-minute walk, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 2 blocks long, and then we're back.
Okay, I'm just glad I'm not the only one who does that, so.
No, her paws, her little patty paws hurt.
Her little patty paws?
And the problem is, right now, since there's no snow, it's not a big deal, but once the snow comes down, the salt goes out,
mm-hmm.
and dogs can get salt stuck in their paws, and it can be really bad for them, so.
Sure.
That part also. So now it's very bad for the dogs as well, but. So it's basically the quick, as soon as she like poops and pees, we come right back, and then we just play a lot more in the house than we normally do.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad I'm not neglecting my dogs by taking them on really short walks.
She doesn't like being outside in the super cold anyway.
Sure, sure. Okay, so you mentioned the wedding this weekend. We mentioned the drive. What we did not talk about is the terrible road food you get while on the drive.
Yeah.
I haven't had fast food probably in months, I would say.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, again, if you haven't listened to us before, my girlfriend is working at a vegan juice cafe, so everything I get, she disappears in a little hologram above my left shoulder, just judging me for whatever I eat. So I've been eating a lot healthier lately. But so it's been months, right? So the first fast food place I go to on the drive is Taco John's. It is the worst decision I have made in recent memory.
Nothing like throwing yourself right in the deep end there.
Oh, yeah. The deep end full of sharks, too.
Yep.
Just chicken burrito flavored sharks.
You know what? At least you went chicken, I think.
Yeah.
I think beef is more detrimental.
It is more detrimental. And I didn't want to try fast food seafood.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, no.
No.
So
God,
I went the
no.
chicken route. And the chicken burrito, I got the food sweats just by looking at it. Because it was nothing. Because in the picture, I don't know if I was looking at a different burrito. In the picture, I had chicken, cheese, rice, beans. You know, just like all the stuff you'd find in a decent burrito. When I bit into it, and still halfway through it, it was nothing but chicken and just a whole lot of like nacho cheese.
Ugh.
It was awful.
Blech.
And I felt like I was sweating that melted cheese out through my pores the rest of the day.
Speaking of eating horrible things, I have a quick story for you. There's a guy I work with who's a very, very, very thin man. Mm-hmm. Very thin man. And basically where I work, there's three of us kind of standing at this counter, and a couple of the women from the back, they join us up there occasionally. And so at one point, this guy who's working up there with us, I start to smell just a terrible, terrible smell. And I leaned to my friend Dan. I was like, I think John is pooping his pants right now. Like, it smells so bad. And that happened a couple of times during the day. And at one point, I left. And while I left, my friend Dan turned to this farting man and apparently just let him have it. He's like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, there are women up here. Like, this is, oh, you can't do this to people. It's like, this is what died inside of you. You smell horrible.
You know what? That is respectable. Because I would have sat up there and taken it.
So he just goes to town on this other coworker. And then the other coworker, panicked, looks at Dan and said, I've been eating a lot of ham recently. And that is, to me, there is no flaw in that logic. And I feel as if that is an excuse you can use at any time. For anything, ever.
Steve, you've gained a lot of weight recently.
I've been eating a lot of ham.
Oh, Steve, it looks like that you haven't showered in recent weeks.
Well, I've been eating a lot of ham recently.
Steve, your tax score is way below average.
Well, I've been eating a lot of ham recently.
You're right. It works for everything.
Do you know how fast you've been going? Like, no, I've been eating a lot of ham recently.
Oh, you can go.
Well, how much ham have you been eating? Field sobriety test. Just a ridiculous thing for someone to say, in my opinion. I've been eating a lot of ham recently. How much fucking ham do you have to be eating to state the fact I have been eating a lot of ham recently? How much ham would you have to eat? Honestly, I'm asking you this question.
To say I've been eating a lot of ham.
For, like, for you to fart and say, like, my God, you're the worst. Why? And you say, I've been eating a lot of ham recently. How much ham?
Assuming that that is actually the reason and the man didn't just panic. And just say,
I've been eating, just insert food, ham!
I would have to be a good 3 days, 3 to 4 days of just ham for every meal.
So basically you're talking post-Thanksgiving turkey style.
Oh, yeah.
Ham. To say I've been eating a lot of ham lately.
Yeah, yeah. Like in the morning you have like an omelet, but you throw some ham on it. For lunch you have a ham sandwich. Then for like dinner you have like cooked ham steak and like ginger ale and brown sugar. Like that's...
Yeah. 3 days in a... I'm saying 3 days in a row of at least 80% ham consumption before I even think about uttering the phrase... I've been eating a lot of a ham recently. Or if I go to a like a pig roast and I eat the whole pig. Also
wait,
acceptable.
This is supposed to be for everyone?
Oh. Oh.
Boy, is my face ham.
And at that point, I wouldn't say I've been eating a lot of ham recently. I'd say I ate a pig.
Which, again... Respectable.
At that point, you cannot blame the man.
It's like, well, dude, congrats, dude.
Okay. Oh, I don't even know what to say to a man that eats a pig.
I didn't know that ham caused such IBS inside you.
I don't know if it does, actually. I think it may have very well been a panic maneuver.
I think so, too.
He may have had a ham sandwich and has been like, oh, ham! Ham, ham, ham! Blame it on the ham!
Oh, man. Okay, one final thing, at least on my end, before we move to the top five. A weird moment happened to me yesterday. So my second week on the radio show, and during the radio show, which, by the way, is called the Game Show Show and Stuff on 88.7 WLUW, the two main guys were interviewing this guy named Yuri Lane. Have you ever heard of this guy?
Nope.
He's one of those YouTube sensations.
Great.
And he is famous for playing a harmonica, but while beatboxing. In fact,
wow.
He is one of the best beatboxers I've ever heard.
And we know you have quite a repertoire of beatboxing videos you keep.
If I may. Need to wipe off this microphone now.
Is he better than that?
You know what? I can't. It's like you can't smell yourself. I don't know how good that was, so I need to. So
well, let me tell you, sir, it was phenomenal.
Thank you. So maybe he's just slightly above me.
Okay.
But yeah, so I didn't know anything about this guy before he came in, and then he started doing.
I kind of want to do a rival beatbox.
Well, you have to now.
So badly. I just want to be like an insane beatboxer right now.
Steve, the floor is open.
And see, now whenever I see beatboxers, like, I feel like they hold the mic, like, straight above their mouth. And, like, they, like, they use their hand on the mic to, like, create different sounds. So I'm going to
Yeah, good. Just yeah, get that.
I'm just rubbing this mic, getting it warm.
Just let's capture all this.
That's the West. That's my favorite West move. The panting dog. Yeah! Suck it!
That was good. That was Suck good, it, man. That was good.
And now I play a harmonica. I just killed the turkey. I just killed the turkey real quick.
Sorry, I've been eating a lot of turkey recently.
I've been killing a lot of turkeys.
What the hell was my point? Oh, yeah. So, didn't know anything about this guy until he came in. And he started rocking on this harmonica and doing the beatbox. And then, like, throughout the whole show, the two main hosts would throw it to him. Like, okay, man, play us out. He'd do this crazy, like, beatbox beat. And it was insane to hear the sounds this guy could make come out of his mouth. Yeah. But so the point is, I'm trying to make, I went from zero to kind of starstruck.
Okay.
In the span of an hour.
Is this a Chicago YouTube star?
Is he based
out of Chicago?
He lives in Chicago now. I don't know where he began.
Okay.
But he's been on the Steve Harvey Show. He's been on a whole bunch of other things. Steve Harvey.
You know, stuff.
Stuff. Steve Harvey Show is the one thing he's been on that probably everyone knows, so.
Get him on this podcast so we can have a beatbox off.
Done. But yeah,
and just
man.
So you know, this was coming for you. No, this is how I kick it. Hold on. Oh, man. Fucking killing it.
God, I'm going to need to change these microphone covers.
I can fart beatbox like nobody's business.
Steve, you can fart like nobody's business. Steve, I have gone from -60 to starstruck on you. Just now.
This is going to sound... Last thing on my part. Okay. I like to finish off on a high note.
The fart beatbox was
well,
the high note
for farts are part of it.
Good.
So embarrassing, but I found it so funny. I love fart noises, A, if you can't tell. And I brought a can of soup to work today for lunch. A can of Campbell's chunky soup.
Mm-hmm.
It's got one of those little pop top action. Pulled it off, and of course you turn the can upside down to remove the soup into your bowl.
Oh no.
And I gave it just a little flick of the wrist, and the soup did go into the bowl, and it was like it was like it just made this hilarious fart noise. I can't even replicate the fart noise. And it made me laugh out loud by myself in the kitchen at work. And it was so funny. I wanted to call people just to be like, this is so funny. But nobody would understand. And then a coworker came in and saw me laughing. And she's one of the sweetest women. She's like, why are you laughing? And I was like, I can't tell her my soup farted. Like, I just can't tell this woman my soup farted. I was like, oh, my friend sent me a funny text. That's all.
You know what you should have said, Steve? I'm sorry.
I've been eating a lot of ham. I can't stop laughing because I'm full of ham.
All right. So before we move on to our top five, we got some top fives written in from our last week's podcast.
Excellent.
Which was our top five movie themes. And sorry, ladies and gentlemen, our dogs, we co-own these dogs.
Yeah.
No, my dogs are going nuts right now. Apparently somebody in the building opened a door.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and now they're on high alert.
Recipe for disaster.
That's right. But we got a couple top fives written in from last week's podcast. Our old friend Brian writes in his top five.
I want you to give me this top five in your best announcer voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, here we are again with a 5 on Out Top 5 for the week. Top 5 movie themes coming at you. Our top 5 comes in from Brian, our good friend. His number 5 is the theme from Halloween, the main theme by John Carpenter. His number 4 is theme from X-Men First Class, First Class by Henry Jackman. His number 3 is theme from Breakfast Club, Don't You, by Simple Minds. His number 2 is theme from The Avengers by Alan Silvestri. His number 1, theme from Transformers a Movie, The Touch by Stan Bush.
Not terrible, but what was... what exactly was that?
I was going for a drum roll, but apparently I had a minor stroke.
All I taste is ham. Okay, so I'm surprised. There's some more instrumental stuff in there.
Yes.
That I generally wouldn't think of.
Yeah, let's, because I kind of ran through them really fast there.
One more time.
Number 5, theme from Halloween.
Great.
Number 4, theme from X-Men First Class. Wouldn't have thought of that.
I can't even think of how it goes.
Number 3, is theme from Breakfast Club.
I love that. I completely forgot about it. That's a great pick.
That's a good one. Is number 2, is theme from The Avengers. Again, love the movie, but...
Actually, the only reason I can kind of think of it is because of the Lego... Marvel superheroes game. I'm pretty sure they have the Avengers theme song in that. And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
Sure. His number 1 is one again from one I haven't seen theme from Transformers the movie, The Touch by Stan Bush.
I'd have to
Is that
I don't think of music when I think of Transformers. I'll have to go back and check that out.
Now, is this the animated movie?
I would imagine it's the
it has to be the animated movie. Because he calls it a classic movie. So I don't think anyone considers the Michael Bay movie a classic.
Yes, I agree.
So, but question, is that the, you got the touch? Is that what he's talking about?
God, I hope not.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I don't even know that song. I don't know. It just sounds bad when you sing it.
I'm sorry, let me lay down some beatbox under it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Our last one is written in by our good friend Seth. Excuse me. He writes in his top 5 theme songs, excluding John Williams. Number 5, Goldfinger, Shirley Bassey.
Classic. You know what? Absolutely classic. But that song went down a tick in my mind when she sang it for the Oscars a couple years ago.
Sure.
Maybe it was just last year. I thought it was pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Yeah, I heard about that. I didn't see it, but I heard about
Great song, but that performance.
Yeah. His number 4 was Back to the Future theme song.
Yes.
I love it.
Very good.
His number 3 is Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie.
Damn it.
I know.
No, damn it, because now I'm going to have that stuck in my head the rest of the goddamn day.
His number 2 is Summer Overture from Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
I have been told to steer clear. What do you say?
It's one of those movies that it's good to see once, and then you will probably never, ever, ever watch it again.
Okay.
But it is a good film, and that song is absolutely unbelievable, and I cannot believe I did not put it on my list. Excellent, excellent, excellent pick.
Do you have the movie?
No.
Damn it.
God, no.
Well, if anybody out there wants to send me a copy of Requiem for a Dream so I
can
watch
tell
it.
You get to see some Jennifer Connelly boobies.
If anyone could send me 3 copies of Requiem for a Dream.
And, oh, there's a Wayans in that movie.
If anyone could send me 1 copy of Requiem for a Dream. It is number 1 is the Batman theme for the 1989 Batman by Danny Elfman.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Getting some backup, huh?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Guys, thank you so much for writing in.
Requiem for a Dream.
I know.
Damn it. I should have thought of that.
Jill plays that. My girlfriend Jill likes to play that song in the car on long road trips just to, I don't know, get that epic feel, I guess.
Absolutely. It's totally epic.
And I got to agree.
Da-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Beatbox. Da-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na. See, it's just like listening to the song, Wes. Everyone's really enjoying this.
God, these microphone covers are soaked.
Maybe we should go on like America's Got Talent, The Voice.
All of them,
at the same time, do a group audition for all of them.
That's right.
With that ditty,
I can't wait.
Neither can I. Let's... Susan Boyle, move over. We're taking the world by storm.
But guys, we mention this all the time, and it's always true. Thank you so much for writing in, because we love, love, love hearing from you guys.
Everything is awesome.
Oh, God.
Everything is great, but cool when you're part of a team.
All right, Steve, let us get to our top five for this week, which is, again, what is it?
Our top five war movies.
Because this is our Veterans Day tribute.
Yeah, and you know what? Let us take a moment. Real quick, not to get super sappy, which is not our cup of tea, but there is something about many a film and a lot of history that romanticizes some wars, at least on the American side of things. Mm-hmm. And war is not a beautiful, pretty, you know, good guy clearly versus bad guy sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people make some really serious sacrifices of their life to enable us to have the lives that we have now. And mm-hmm. Just want to give them the general tip of the hat and a thank you, and not to say that, you know. Never mind. I'm gonna leave it.
Debate war. Support our troops.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. So
kudos to every troop that has served and will serve and is serving right now.
And we appreciate it very, very much.
Oh my God! All
but
of our heartfelt thanks.
With that, let us celebrate the storytelling of war, for good or for bad. Let us celebrate the storytelling of it.
With a smattering of dick jokes and F-words, this is our best Veterans Day tribute we can do.
But this is honestly a very, very difficult list for me to make, because as we've talked about, I love war movies.
And
Steve, I love them.
As we've talked about, I am woefully inept when it comes to war films. So I'm going to tell you right now, my list sucks.
Oh, no. My list needs to be more. Like, five is so difficult for me. Again, the caveat, we also removed Saving Private Ryan from our list because we know it's number one for both of ours.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time, period.
Now, I have seen maybe 10 war films in my life. I can remember things from about 6 or 7 of them, and only 5 of them were good. And then you took out Saving Private Ryan. So I'm stuck. I'm going to start with this week.
Man, I cannot wait to rip your list apart.
Here's the thing. My number 5, I know, is not a good movie, but I couldn't think of anything else to replace it.
Oh, this is a terrible way to start this. A terrible way to start this.
Steve, the only type of movie I have seen less than war movies is like Westerns. And I haven't seen, I think I've seen one Western.
All right, enough bitching and cowering now, behind your list.
No, no.
Show me.
Let me say,
show me a
let
list.
Me say that I still enjoy this movie. I know that it's incredibly historically inaccurate, but it's
one of my
guilty pleasures.
I already know what it is.
Can we say it on 3, 2, 1? The
Pearl
Patriot.
Harbor. Okay.
No, my God, no, not Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
I didn't even think of Pearl Harbor.
Okay, good. Because okay.
The Patriot.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
See, you set this up like, you know, this is like, oh my God, Dad, don't come inside. You're going to be so mad. You're going to beat me to death. And you're like, you've like spilled a little bit of your water. You've left like a ring on the table. I'm not going to kill you. No, I'm not going to kill you, Wes.
But The Patriot should not be bunched with the other movies on my list, is my thing. It is so far below them.
And why am I defending your list? I'm saying diversity is good. Oh, tell me why The Patriot's on there.
No, this is my plan is coming to fruition. You have gone from tearing my list apart to defending it for me.
I know.
But yeah, The Patriot is a very fun movie, and it tells a story of a revenge and a man getting sucked back into war. And this is back when Mel Gibson was still cool.
Oh yeah,
and some awesome battle sequences, a great final fight scene for my money. Even though the two battle lines staring across each other from an open field, taking shots, and then the other. One side stands still, the other side shoots at them, then the other side stands still, and the other side shoots. That stuff didn't happen.
I kind of feel like that is a time of war that is not shown in film a whole lot, because it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
The revolution, like muskets are not featured in war a whole lot because it's just so brutal. Mm-hmm. But it's brutal and not like in a vindicating way.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you fight with swords and maces and, you know, that sort of thing, it's man on man, you know, the strongest one survives or craft. You know what? It's part of the reason we love Game of Thrones and that kind of stuff. And when it's musket fire, it's like, no. Let us all just stand out of arm's length and shoot each other and hope to God you don't panic and drop your little, packet of gunpowder and like, oh my God, it is a brutal time of war.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
And as with many successful war movies, it centers around this very likable protagonist who is very reluctant to fight. But when he does fight, oh, he is a good fighter.
Oh, yeah.
He is living in violence, covered in blood. It's awesome. And he fights for the right reasons, not because he just likes to kill. So, yeah, that's my number five, The Patriot.
Okay, you're right. Completely, very much inaccurate in a historical context.
Mm-hmm.
Although the U.S. does win, so that part is correct.
Yes, but that is correct.
It is a fun movie, though. The Patriot, I loved The Patriot in high school.
Yeah.
And then I went back and watched it again, and I was like, it's maybe not that good, but it's still fun.
That's right.
It's definitely still fun. During this conversation, I just realized I made a big omission from my list.
Pearl Harbor.
Pearl. So you're familiar.
Yes.
You are familiar.
That is one.
But you know what? Here is a little teaser for later in the list.
Mm.
There is somebody from The Patriot that will show up later in my list.
Are we talking about Heath Ledger, The Dark Knight?
Yeah. Oh, so you know that movie too?
Yes, I do.
That was going to be my like diamond in the rough. I didn't know you were going to be familiar with The Dark Knight.
Yeah, when the Joker waged war against Gotham City.
I got to do a quick on the fly change. Okay, I'm going here. Number five.
Okay, number five.
Number five. I am going with a little ditty a lot of people have not seen. Maybe they're aware of it. They've not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the movie Born on the 4th of July.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
No.
I know we've talked about it a little bit before,
mm-hmm.
but you and I have talked before about Tom Cruise and is he a good actor or is he not? And Born on the 4th of July, to me, is one of the top three Tom Cruise movies if he's showing off his acting chops.
Mm-hmm.
It is a phenomenal, phenomenal acting performance. And I really like that this is, it is a war movie because basic concept of Born on the 4th of July, if you're not familiar with it, Tom Cruise, all-American boy, growing up in the suburbs, you know, handsome football player sort of deal. He goes to Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
and he is paralyzed while he's in Vietnam. The percentage of him in Vietnam in the movie is pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back, the defeated, quote-unquote, the defeated American from Vietnam, and now he's paralyzed. Mm-hmm. So they make you feel like he is this paralyzed loser. And the story of him dealing with what happened after the Vietnam War is the very interesting part of this movie. And he being Tom Cruise, is absolutely phenomenal in this movie. Honestly, he's great. He's absolutely fantastic. It's an Oliver Stone movie. I really like Oliver Stone stuff, generally speaking. So not a traditional war movie in the context of, you know, of A Saving Private Ryan, which is basically war from beginning to end, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is about one of the more controversial wars in American history, and it's not even 100% about the politics of should we or shouldn't we. It's the best movie, I think, of showing the psyche of a soldier coming back and dealing with how his life is so much different now and how people perceive him. It's
oh, sure.
It's fantastic, man.
Now, this movie used to be on Netflix, right?
I believe it did. So that means it may come back.
Do you recommend that people go out and see it?
I do. Yeah? I really, really do.
Isn't it like 3 hours long, though?
It's been a while since I have seen it. It's definitely, I would not be surprised at all to find out it's 2.5 hours.
Sure.
Something like that. It's in a way, it almost, I mean, if you've seen it, don't crucify me for this, but in a way, there's almost kind of a Forrest Gump type transformation of a person in a way, where you see him go, his character changes a lot, or like at least the times change around him and that sort of thing. It's, I don't know, it's, so it's long. It's longer, but it's awesome.
Sure.
It's great.
All right. Well, my number four is a movie that might be on your list. Starship Troopers.
Oh, come on. Is that a war movie?
Yes, it is. It's
no,
a war
it
against
isn't.
The bugs.
No.
That's a it's an intergalactic war.
No. That's
we did not
is
say.
Is your number one Star Wars?
No.
Oh, because guess what? It fucking says wars in the title.
Well, I didn't think about it. That's why. Oh. Otherwise, it would be. And now I need to redo my list. No, Starship Troopers. We didn't specify that it was a war that actually happened in history.
That is fine. We didn't.
This is a war that just might happen. This, you know what? The makers
in the future.
Robert Heinlein, he might be a prophet.
He could also start his own religion. Who knows?
Yeah. So this movie, have we talked about it before? It's a lot of fun. Casper Van Dien's finest performance.
Sure is.
Much like how Tom Cruise had his heyday with Born on the 4th
yeah,
of July.
Yeah, they're very you know what? I should if we can just go back just for a moment. If you haven't seen Born on the 4th of July, just watch Starship Troopers. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. Actually, I disagree with this being on your list, but that's fine. But I do fucking love Starship Troopers.
Oh yeah,
I love this movie.
Oh yeah,
and it's to me the almost the best example of movie versus film. Like Born on the 4th of July is a film.
Mm-hmm.
Starship Troopers is one of the best movies
mm-hmm.
to watch. It's fantastic.
Sure, it's a lot of fun. If you like sci-fi, if you like. If you fucking like just dudes shooting bugs and
titties and showers.
And titties and showers. Because it does hit a lot of the same points that most war films does. Like, the same beats. Like, they get beaten back and beaten back.
No, don't. No. No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Dude, okay.
Then a couple of the main characters die. Like, you know, it's the same beats.
No,
same exact beats.
Not.
If you haven't seen Saving Private Ryan, again, just watch Starship Troopers.
The beats are not the same.
Oh, yes. If you outline the movies, it's almost identical.
Oh, my God.
So that's my number four.
I'm getting upset. I need to move on.
That's my number four, Starship Troopers.
I need to move on. It's kind of cheating, but I don't feel like you've seen either of these movies, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway.
Okay.
I had these in individual slots, but it makes more sense to put them together and add in the movie that I just thought of. I'm going to go with the first half of Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with the second half of The Deer Hunter.
Okay.
Because quite honestly, I don't watch the other parts of the movie. As soon as they leave training camp or boot camp in Full Metal Jacket, I don't even want to watch it anymore. It's a completely different movie. And I'm not interested, and I don't think it's that good, actually.
All right.
Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't. Haven't seen either.
I do own Full Metal Jacket,
okay.
So you're more than welcome to borrow it.
But just the first half?
Just the first half, dude. You have to watch the first half. So it's probably 45 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it does share this, in a way, with Starship Troopers, that the first half of it is them going through boot camp, and I have no idea his name. He's one of those dudes that as soon as you see him or hear his voice, you know exactly who he is. He's the dude that he's the drill instructor dude, the older guy.
Oh, like, yeah.
What is your major malfunction, pal? You know, like,
yeah.
That you see him? Oh, him. Yeah. He's
sure.
The drill sergeant guy. Yeah.
The same guy played House's father in the TV show House.
I'm sure he did.
He did.
And let me guess, he was a real strict disciplinarian.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that dude.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that dude. This is where he got, like, this is why he became that guy, is from this role.
Mm-hmm.
So it's him whipping this platoon, you know, whatever, into shape.
Mm-hmm.
And the fallout of what they have to sacrifice to, quote unquote, get in shape and then get sent to Vietnam. First half of that movie, unbelievably so good. So good. Second half, don't give a shit at all about it.
Well, like, what happens in the... I mean, no
they
spoilers.
Go to the... And this sounds weird. It's like, oh, no, the training, the boot camp is so much more interesting than them being in the war. Them being in war in the second half is not interesting at all to me. And that's... it's just not... It's not good.
Okay.
The major relationships that are important in the first, really, honestly, it's they made it. Quote, unquote, they made it to the war, and that's kind of what the story was in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, I don't really care because you guys made it already. Anyway,
okay.
Second, I'm going to take, if I could make the best war movie ever, taking the first half of Full Metal Jacket, then I'm taking the second half of The Deer Hunter.
Okay.
And The Deer Hunter is famous for Russian roulette. That's mm-hmm. what that movie's famous for. So again, another Vietnam, but the first half of the movie is them living in like Pennsylvania, in like Pittsburgh, and like having a picnic on a mountain and having a drink at someone's wedding that no one really wants to be at. And it fucking drags so bad. It's so long. It's an hour and a half of exposition.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is no boot camp. They're boom, they're in the middle of Vietnam. Like, it's like, and then we went to Sherry's wedding, and now I'm getting fired at from the treetops. But the scenes where it's Robert De Niro and Christopher Walken playing Russian roulette with these in this prison camp while the Vietnamese guys smack them with sticks if they don't shoot the gun, and like it is unbelievably good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think Robert De Niro is not a good actor anymore, which nowadays he hasn't made a good movie in a long time, go watch The Deer Hunter, the second half of it,
mm-hmm.
and be reminded what Robert De Niro, and also Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Oh, because he now obviously is like a joke nowadays. Both of them have now become kind of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and watch this movie, and you'll see two actors at basically the peak of their powers. They're unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
They are so, so good. And the story is unlike any other war story that I've seen. It's unbelievably good.
Sure.
Second, but skip the first hour and a half, man. Just skip it. Just skip it.
I like it. So the first half of Full Metal Jacket, second half of The Deer Hunter.
If you put those two together, that's the best war movie that's ever been. Period.
Two great tastes that go great together.
They really do. They really do. Man. You know, and to go on to my metaphor from the beginning, I was saying that last dance at the wedding was like a really great free dessert. Full Metal Jacket is like, oh my God, this appetizer and the main part of my main course is unbelievably good. These sides and the dessert are really fucking terrible. And The Deer Hunter is like, this appetizer makes me want to, I'm going to shit in my pants. Oh my God. But you're like, oh my God, this steak and this cheesecake. Oh my God, it's so good. There you go. That's how it goes.
Got it. I like it. All right. Well, my number three is a movie that you can get behind. It's The Last Samurai.
That's the movie I just moved shit to bump in there.
No way.
Yes.
Yes. It's so good. It's
Tom Cruise is on my list twice.
Ah, yeah, he is. This movie, most war films are about two countries or two groups of people, just knocking into each other, disagreeing, knocking into each other, and then they both, that's it.
Yep, I believe you've just encapsulated the history of war.
It's basically like a giant game of bumper cars, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's it.
But usually, you know, one gets defeated and the others fall back. You know, like, okay, well, you guys stay over there, we'll stay over here. The lines are clearly drawn. Done. The Last Samurai. Oh, do I want to go? Nah, whatever. The Last Samurai is about the death of a way of life.
Wow, you just went from the most shallow explanation to really cutting deep.
I know.
Nice.
Exactly. And yeah, because like I think it centers around the introduction of gunpowder, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
And like how
in China, yeah.
These people cannot deal with this, the samurai cannot
no, not
go
China.
To war.
Sorry, Japan. Excuse me. Japan.
They can't fight against guns and cannons. They can't do it. So
and they don't want to fight against. Like they don't want to change. A, they don't have the ability to, and they don't want to fight with gunpowder because it's not an honorable way
exactly.
to fight.
So
and it's that, but it's also the death of the way of life of Tom Cruise's character.
Mm-hmm.
As well, and his rebirth as. So it's the rebirth of the country of Japan, and it is the rebirth of Tom Cruise's character at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, dude, Tom Cruise bringing the acting heat.
Oh yeah,
he's great.
Mm-hmm.
But who's even better in that movie? Ken Watanabe.
Oh, he was great, man.
Nominated for an Oscar for that movie.
He didn't win?
He did not win.
Ah, man.
I forget who won that year.
Was it Tom Cruise?
It was Tom Cruise. And you know what? Ken Watanabe is a really good example of a guy I saw in one thing that I absolutely loved. And it makes me put an unfair expectation on him now.
Sure.
He's not bad in other stuff, but he's never achieved that in another movie that I've seen.
Because
mm-hmm. he's in the beginning of Inception, and he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine. But he's in a couple other things where I'm like, yeah! Ken Watanabe! Oh, he's in Godzilla. He's in Godzilla.
Oh, no.
I just saw him in Godzilla.
Does he play Godzilla?
He does a pretty good job as Godzilla. Not great, but Tom Cruise does it better.
Exactly. Oh, man.
I love... Love, love, love The Last Samurai.
And we cannot forget to mention the battle scenes in this movie are great.
And it has there's great hand-to-hand combat, which is the most, you know, exciting combat to watch in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got great scenes of that. You've got fucking samurais, man. You got sword fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always great. And then you also have something I love in a good war movie is brilliant tactical moves being mm-hmm. done to catch the enemy unaware, or you're being caught unaware by the enemy. They've got some great moments of that in there, too, where you're like, it's just so crazy. It might work. Oh, my God, it's work. No, it isn't. Like, but it is. You know, I love those moments.
Yeah, those chess matches where you think, like, oh, I thought another move ahead. Well, I thought two moves ahead. Well, I thought three moves ahead.
Which kind of reminds me of one of my favorite, it's not a war movie, but in Game of Thrones, the fight between...
The Mountain?
The Mountain, and what's his name?
Dorne.
Yeah, the Prince of Dorne.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Dornish Prince. It's not his name.
Oberyn.
Oberyn, like the beer.
Yes.
Oberyn, right. The beer. When he's thinking a few moves ahead, then all of a sudden... He is no longer thinking a few moves ahead.
And let's stick with the pronouns for people who have not seen the fourth season.
Yes.
Okay. So, yes. But one final thing before we move on. One of the best training montages
I've seen. We need a montage!
Because you got the underdog, Tom Cruise, in a place that's pretty hostile towards him.
Oh, yeah.
And this training montage, he shows him that he's up to snuff.
So, oh, yeah.
It's great. I love it. That's my number three, The Last Samurai.
Damn it, I just moved those other things so I could put The Last Samurai at three. But I'm glad we are unified in that. And actually, it'll give me a chance to talk about a movie real quick that didn't quite make my list, but I want to give it just a moment too. I'm going to do this another time and for my number one.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you a little bit of the rundown of the cast on this particular movie. Tell me if you know what it is. You are going to have yourself, you're going to start with a Dennis Hopper.
Okay.
I'm going to
Speed.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So, you know,
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
When Keanu has to fight Sandra Bullock with swords,
he has to defend his way of life.
Unbelievable.
It's great.
I'm going to add in a Harrison Ford.
Okay.
So we got Dennis Hopper, Harrison Ford. At this point, actually, Larry Fishburne.
Okay.
Not Lawrence Fishburne. Larry Fishburne. I'm going to add in a Robert Duvall.
Okay.
I'm going to add in Martin Sheen.
I think I know this.
And then for the final, Marlon Brando.
I think. Oh, maybe not. I was thinking Apocalypse Now.
It is Apocalypse Now.
It is. Okay.
It is Apocalypse Now. Have you ever seen this movie?
I have not.
Apocalypse Now. And apparently I'm real high in Vietnam stuff. Apparently.
Apparently.
Didn't realize it. Apocalypse Now is, I watched it the first time several years ago. I was like, I don't know. I don't really get it.
Yeah.
And then I watched it again. I was like, whoa. Holy shit. Whoa.
Really good, huh?
Really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now watching it. It came out in 1979.
Okay.
So watching it at this point, you know, 40 years later, roughly, you're like, oh my God, Lawrence Fishburne's first film he ever did. He actually lied about how old he was so he could do the movie.
Lawrence.
Then you get like a quick little Harrison Ford. It's just the cast is amazing. And if you read the stories about what happened while they were filming this movie, like sets literally floated away into the ocean and they thought they weren't going to finish the movie like 5-6 different times because financial troubles and this. And then Marlon Brando, as we all know, whenever we think of Marlon Brando, we think young Streetcar Named Desire, strapping, like American man.
Shouting Stella.
Absolutely. That's who they thought they were hiring for the... in this movie, but he showed up as fat Marlon Brando for the first time. And they're like, oh my God, wait. And like the whole movie, it builds to finding Marlon Brando.
Okay.
And then they find him. And then so he shows up later during filming because he wasn't needed till later, or whatever. And they're like, holy shit. Oh my God. Like, where is Marlon Brando? Oh, right here. That's not Marlon Brando. You're some fat guy. Like,
I'm sorry. I've just been eating a lot of ham.
I've been eating a lot of... Obviously.
God.
You've been eating pigs, friend. You've been eating pigs. Straight up pigs.
You have some pig in your mouth.
So they had to completely retool the ending and shoot Marlon Brando mostly in shadows.
Oh, wow.
Which, for some reason... makes the ending that much better and ominous and cool. And so it is a fantastic film. Yeah. All of these are film. This is a film for real. It's great.
Have you seen the documentary, is it Heart of Darkness? Hearts of Darkness?
Yeah.
You have?
I have, yes.
Better than the movie or as good?
I like Apocalypse Now, man.
Oh, okay, cool.
Love it.
All right.
So that's my honorable mention is Apocalypse Now.
Got it. My number two, and I'm afraid because I think my top two might be your top two, and we might have a reverse of last week. My number two is Platoon.
No.
Okay. Woo! All right. Platoon made it to near the top of my list because I saw it when maybe a few years younger than when I should have seen it.
That's the best way to see movies!
I was 7 years old.
Perfect. <Yeah.
laughs> No, I think I was like 12, 13, 14, around that area.
No, just perfect time.
Pubescent.
Perfect time to see it.
And this is when I realized that war has a toll on soldiers, on their psyches, on their mental health, on everything. And it kind of messed me up for a little bit see how... You know, because when you're young, you know, American soldiers are glorified, and they're the ideal
of being a man,
heroics, and you know, all these great things. And then you watch a movie like Platoon, where they're doing terrible things because war is hell. Has anyone said that before? Have we coined that here? War is hell.
Yeah, you know what? If anyone uses that from now on, that's a quarter to Wes and I.
That's right. But yeah, just seeing the terrible things that these people do to, you know, just townsfolk, to normal people in
Vietnam.
To each other. Oh my God. It was kind of scarring for me, and it was a really hard, gritty look from a side of war that I had never seen before. That's why it's my number two. I really recommend it if you have not seen it. It's a classic for a reason.
Also won Best Picture.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, won Best Picture in like 1987 or 86, something like that.
Didn't know that.
Yes, it did.
Awesome.
Another killer cast in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Killer cast. And that's one of the best things about war movies is the casts are, generally speaking, big. And they can... Like, dudes want to be in those movies.
It's like, nope, we fought a war with just Tom Cruise and, I'm blanking on his name. Never mind. Joke's dead.
Oh, God.
Never really John Leguizamo. That would have been great.
Would have been good, man.
Would have been so good.
That would have been a really good joke.
Let's take it again.
Hold on. Hold on. Take two. Want me to cue you up?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
I don't remember my lines.
It's not like you fight a war with just two people. You got to Tom Cruise and John Leguizamo.
You know what? Actually, that wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
All right. Well, okay. Let's just cut
one
that out
of
the film.
Best Picture, 1986 or 1987, somewhere in there. But this had, what, I always confuse him with Christopher Walken.
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe. Mm-hmm. I always, those two kind of get a little mixed up in my head from time to time.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Really?
Yeah.
You don't see a similarity in their face and hair and that business?
Well, yeah, they're tall, dark-haired, white.
They're not
white
dark-haired.
Men,
they're like blonde dudes.
Do all white men look alike to you, Steve?
I don't want to say it, but them. White men. They're all the same. But you've got good Charlie Sheen,
yes,
in Platoon before he went bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And this came out not too far away from Hot Shots, which, by the way, should absolutely be on my war list.
Oh, my God.
Didn't even think about it. But think about that for a second. Charlie Sheen kills it in an Academy Award winning Best Picture movie, Platoon. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the only great part about the movie. He does just great. Mm-hmm. And then very shortly after, kills it in an even bigger way on one of the funniest movies you'll ever see in Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2. Charlie Sheen used to be legit, man. Legit.
Yeah, he used to be great.
Wow.
How the mighty do fall.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I guess I don't think about that.
Was that in the same year, or like the same couple of years?
It had to be. I mean, okay. It is close. I'm actually going to.
You look that up. I have a quick question, though. The movie Platoon, here's a dumb question. I've been saying it takes place during the Vietnam War. That is correct, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so absolutely. Sure. All right, Platoon came out in December 1986.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it came out.
Okay.
So let me check on the old Hot Shots here. What do you prefer, Hot Shots or Hot Shots Part 2?
You know what? It's been so long, they kind of bleed together for me. But I think just a gut reaction, Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah, me too. Hot Shots 1, though, original Hot Shots, 1991.
Oh,
so
okay.
I mean, it's not that. That's not far, dude.
Well,
that's
5 years to grow and mature and to do something ridiculous.
Let's call
Charlie Sheen right now.
Let's call Charlie Sheen. See what he has to say. I'm trying to find July 31st, 1991.
Okay,
it's like 4.5 years.
Okay,
4.5 years. That's still, I don't care, man. That's
sure.
Still some range right there.
Sure, sure, sure.
That's some range.
But to be fair, he does play the straight man in Hot Shots Part 2.
But I mean.
But your point does still hold true, but he's not being all wacky, crazy dude.
Yeah, but his comic timing, and he does do... Dude, he shoots a guy with a chicken bow and arrow.
Okay, you're right, you're right. And I think this is how exactly he got the part in 2.5 Men, so...
Ugh. But what, 12 seasons or something?
Yeah, but he's gone. He's gone from that show.
I'm just saying, that's just an indictment on America. That's all. Anyway, so I love that pick, dude. That's an honorable mention of mine. That's
sure
great, great pick.
It's my number two, Platoon.
Okay, this was the other movie that I said I was going to give you a cast rundown because I watched this movie again fairly recently, several years now since it originally came out, and I'm the list of dudes in this movie is unreal. And when you're watching it, you're like, him? Oh my god! Oh my! Oh! 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 I'm going to start out with Ty Burrell,
okay,
a.k.a. the dad from Modern Family. A lot of these are very small roles in there.
Sure.
But regardless, they're in there. You may be familiar with Legolas.
Yes.
Little Orlando Bloom.
I think I already know what it is. Let's go on.
Please, give me the guess.
Black Hawk Down.
God damn it, you're right.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, let me finish this off, though.
Okay.
There's Gregory Splorlitter. As soon as you see his face, if you've ever seen the movie The Rock,
mm-hmm,
he's the dude that is all about launching the missiles in The Rock.
Okay.
Tom Hardy is in this movie.
Yep.
Jamie Lannister is in this movie.
Oh, what is it? His name's like
Nicolaj Coster-Waldo? Waldo?
Where is Waldo?
Where? He's in Black Hawk Down. That's. Have you ever seen Kindergarten Cop?
A long time ago.
Because the bad guy from Kindergarten Cop, that's my son, or that's my boy. He's in there. He's one of the sergeants or whatever in there. Jeremy Piven is in that movie. Jason Isaacs,
mm-hmm,
and he's the bad guy from The Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
He's in there. There's more.
I'm gonna
Kim Coates. He is in Sons of Anarchy. He's Tig in Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
Sam Shepard is in it. William Fichtner is in it.
Oh, Crazy Eyes.
Crazy Eyes. William Fichtner. In the beginning of The Dark Knight, he's the guy that's in the bank. He's like, "Don't you know who you're stealing from?" And he like pumps the shotgun. Then you've got, of course, your main dudes at the top: Eric Bana, Tom Sizemore, Ewan McGregor, and Josh Hartnett.
Oh yeah,
like that is a. That is a just a cast full of like B to C plus dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have your major A list guy.
Yeah.
But I would love to have 15 B to C guys on my team.
I guess Josh Hartnett was a lot more popular at the time, but I still don't think he would have been A at the time.
I don't think he was ever A.
Yeah.
Girls loved him.
Oh, yeah.
And I like him too.
Well, dudes want to be him. Wanted to be him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Josh Hartnett actually has a pretty good, like, if you're going to stack, like, three or four movies for Josh Hartnett, they're not going to stack up to, you know, some of your heavy hitters, you know, Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, that kind of thing.
Casper Van Dien.
Thank God. What, Starship Troopers 1, 3, and 5?
That's, yep.
But Josh Hartnett, you've got Black Hawk Down is number one for him, for sure. Sin City, probably two.
Sure. And I love The Faculty.
I would sub out Faculty for 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, I haven't seen 30 Days
of
Night.
Oh, you're going to love it, dude. You got to watch it.
That is what I want to see.
You got to watch it. Anyway, so Black Hawk Down, my number dos. Despite the fact that it is, you watch it and you just go, oh, him! Oh, my God! Oh, him! It's so hard to make a modern war movie because as glorified as World War II movies are of good guy versus bad guy, like Nazis are the ultimate evil. And the Americans are the ultimate good. It's it's so romanticized. And then nowadays, war is so gray. There isn't that black and white. They're fighting enemies that could be their allies. And should they be there? Should they not?
Sure.
We all know the kind of wars that are being fought now with IED bombs and, you know, like bunker busters. And all. It's a very, very different kind of war. So to make that kind of war like personal and to make it where your American soldiers still are the good guys in this movie and but also not to like out and out vilify the quote unquote you know the enemies or whatever to try to paint that in an entertaining slash accurate light is incredibly difficult I would imagine to make a film like that. And Black Hawk Down is the absolute best modern war movie I can possibly think of.
Okay.
So good.
Sure.
Love
sure.
it.
Black Hawk Down falls into that category of movies that I have seen, but I can't remember anything about it. I don't know. I just saw it so long ago, and I remember it being good, but if I were to talk about it, I would sound like an idiot because I just make up things. Like, oh, remember the time Jadidas shot a gun?
Oh, yeah.
When Jesus shot a gun.
I do remember when Jesus showed up.
Jesus Christ. He was one of the cast
superstar.
Members.
Yeah.
That's great.
There's, and what I mentioned before about those moments where you're like tactically, you know, superior, but also, or like tactically at a disadvantage, that sort of, there are a couple of, actually the entire movie is them at a tactical disadvantage of like, there's absolutely no way we're going to get out of this thing. And sometimes they do, and sometimes some don't. And
yeah.
And also there's this great feeling of them, those American soldiers versus the world, not just the people that are trying to physically kill them in there. The whole thing could have been averted if the U.S. government was able to just like fly in and grab them out with helicopters. But like due to the politics of the time, like their commanders wouldn't go in and get them. So it's them against the people that are directly shooting at them. Plus they kind of have to fight their own superior officers who cannot help them at the same time. It is a phenomenal movie. It is heartbreaking. It is uplifting. It is, all the things you want a war movie to be, that is Black Hawk Down.
Well, just you describing it makes me want to watch it again.
I own that movie as well, so you can borrow it whenever you'd like.
I would like to borrow it.
Great.
After we're done.
Done.
Fantastic. Steve, I want to go to my number one, but I have a feeling we have the same number one.
Great.
Because it's one of your favorite movies of in
all
the world.
Time.
Can we just want to do it at the same time?
3, 2, 1. Braveheart.
Yeah! Freedom!
Are you singing that?
Yes. Freedom, Las Vegas.
You know you right? just did the George Michael Freedom. That's what you just did. Not the William Wallace having his guts literally ripped out of his body while he fights for the freedom of his country.
Oh, I thought George Michael was having the guts ripped out of his body during that song. Is that now correct?
No, it is.
Oh, okay.
It is. But he gets him put right back in during his stage show. It's pretty great.
And then he says, gotta have faith. And
that's it.
It's great.
It's done.
But guys, what can we say that we haven't said before, let alone everybody else hasn't said before? It's a phenomenal movie. Heartbreaking. The underdog movie to the max. Again, a very likable protagonist as well, and again in the form of Mel Gibson, which is odd to say nowadays.
Yeah,
great battle scenes, great accents,
great accents, great, and again another killer cast of dudes too.
Yeah,
killer. I won't go through this whole cast on this one either, but great cast.
Mm.
Of course, headlined by the brilliant Mel Gibson.
Right.
He can do no wrong, Mel Gibson, until about 2005.
Yeah, and then it just went downhill.
Yeah.
But, oh, sorry, I'll save this for after the top five. I have a question. But anyway,
back to Braveheart. Braveheart was my favorite movie for years and years and years and years and years. Like, it's like a seventh grade kid, whenever, I think it came out in 1994 or 1995, somewhere in there. I mean, it was like the first double VHS
mm-hmm.
that I ever bought, and I ate that movie up. Mm-hmm. I love Braveheart. I think there's only two movies I've ever seen more than Braveheart, and it is Dumb and Dumber and probably Ace Ventura. That's it. I love Braveheart.
Yeah.
Again, you said underdog story, as we're talking about like tactical stuff, like always up against a superior number of or superior force, always using his wit and mm-hmm. you know, thinking outside of the box to defeat the enemy, and they're everything, and not even just for a war movie, everything you want just in a great classic story to be told. You want the underdog, you want the face of evil that is the king.
Mm-hmm.
You want betrayals, you want love, you want a forbidden love, you want all of those, every classic tenet that is in a great story, like a Shakespearean play or one of the great novels, you know, they're in this epic story of William Wallace and mm-hmm. Braveheart, and it's just phenomenal.
And they do a really good job of making you hate the bad guys.
The Longshanks.
And even the guys that are a little pretty dark gray. Not totally black, but by the end of that movie, you hate
yeah.
these guys that turn their backs on William Wallace. And it's,
yeah.
my God. And again, God, love the accents.
The accents are fantastic, man. Like for a long, long time, when I was a kid, I'd be like, oh, here's my Irish accent, and it would definitely be a Scottish accent.
Oh, yeah.
It's always Scottish.
And I love in movies when the bad guys just brutally underestimate the main guys.
Oh,
the
yeah.
main guys just slap them down with their wits and smarts,
yeah.
and it's fantastic to see.
Yeah.
Just the scene where they're trying to speak, where they're speaking in English, and then he's meeting with the queen.
Which yeah,
the
who queen. Speaks French.
Yeah, yeah. And the dude who's next to her says in Latin that he's just a brew, blah, blah, blah. And he just says back to him something in Latin, some
oh,
sass.
Yeah.
He's like, or in French if you prefer.
Je suis à la vue.
You speak French.
Je suis français. That's how they say it.
Yeah. Je suis français.
That's it. That means or in French if you prefer.
Got it.
And that's when the queen's like, oh my God, I love you.
And she says, freedom.
It got to be freedom. God, how different of a movie is Braveheart if instead of the freedom, he does freedom, freedom. You got to give what you take.
And then he grapevines off the stage.
He's got an acoustic guitar and like beautiful women with him. Oh God.
The Mel Gibson's like, audience, I just want to say, you gotta love your freedom.
Freedom.
As his bowels are just intestines are hanging out of his body.
The long shanks is like, you know what? He's right with that catchy tune. Give the Scots their freedom.
And then it all ends in a dance number.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's the longest George Michael music video. It's 3.5 hours, all of build up to the final 3 minutes of the song.
I'm just thinking, just the idea of sitting down, like how long is Braveheart actually? Three hours?
It's three plus.
Yeah. It is? Oh, just like sitting through all that, and then that happens.
It ends as a George Michael music video.
It ends in a dance number, like all the shitty movies, like Shrek ends. Like the villains are dancing in the background.
Oh my
too.
God.
All the dead people that
the
have been
dead
killed.
Horses.
Yeah, they're dancing as well. It's oh my God, it's cracking me up. Anyway, that's my number one.
That is also my number one. And that is a top 10 movie all time for me. So, and because we had to ban Saving Private Ryan from the list, that is two war movies that would be in my top 10 of all time.
Sure. But my top five in review was number five with The Patriot. My number four is Starship Troopers. My number three is The Last Samurai. My number two is Platoon. My number one is Freedom! Braveheart.
My number five was the... I had to go back because I do just on the fly here.
A little juggle.
Number five was the first appearance of Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. and that is Born on the 4th of July. Then I combined the first half of Full Metal Jacket and the second half of The Deer Hunter to make the greatest war movie of all time. Then I slid in the same number three, which is The Last Samurai, Tom Cruise's second appearance on the list. Then I went Black Hawk Down number two, and then we shared the number one, and that was The Heart of Bravery.
That's right.
Featuring Mel Gibson, also nominated for Best Picture that year.
It didn't win?
It did not win.
Why don't I know who wins awards?
In like 95, I think it was the year after Forrest Gump. I forget who won in 95, but I know it won Best Director for Mel Gibson, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not win for Best Picture that year, I don't think.
Sure, sure.
No, it was a Best Picture. God
damn it. Look it up.
Now I have to know.
All right, dude. While you're looking this up, guys, let me repeat again. We love, love, love hearing what you guys have to say. What are your top five war films? Let us know. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can go back and leave a comment on fiveplay.net. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com. Steve, what am I forgetting? Well, have you looked this up?
God damn it. It won Best Picture.
Did it really?
Yes. And I feel like such an idiot for not knowing, because it's one of my favorite movies ever, and I should have known that.
See, that's funny, because I thought it won. I was surprised when you said it didn't.
It beat Apollo 13. Also, Babe.
Wait, what?
Babe was nominated for Best Picture.
Really?
Yep.
I remember liking that movie.
Yeah, not Best Picture worthy.
Yeah.
Anyway, it won Best Picture. Mel Gibson won Best Director. Nicolas Cage won his Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas. Best Actress was Susan Sarandon for Dead Man Walking. And then that's when Kevin Spacey won for The Usual Suspects. And Mira Sorvino for The Mighty Aphrodite. That was your actors, director, and Best Picture of the 68th Academy Awards from 1996.
And that was your 1996 Academy Awards wrap-up
with
Stephen West.
You know what? I like knowing that stuff, and I feel embarrassed that I didn't know Braveheart won. I should have known it. I'm sorry. People, I'm sorry. I am sorry.
All right. So as I mentioned, let us know what your top five war films are. Facebook and Twitter.
Right around the corner.
Right around we just got to fight this war with just us two.
Yeah. That's just like bumper cars, you know.
just running into the enemy.
Samurais and bumper cars.
That's right.
Because, again, if we've learned anything about war, it's basically just Starship Troopers. So keep that in mind, kids.
Every war movie is along that same outline, is
yeah,
what I'm saying.
And you know what? Wars in general. just war. War is Starship Troopers.
If you take anything away from this podcast, take that away.
Possibly our greatest words of wisdom. War is Starship Troopers. You know, we probably dropped our two biggest smart bombs on y'all today.
That's right.
A, war is Starship Troopers. B, I've eaten a lot of ham recently. With those two phrases, friends, go forth and conquer.
And multiply.
And multiply with a bunch of stupid babies.
That's right. Sex is Starship Troopers. Or put them together and say, sex is ham.
If my little Steve Jr. popped out and said, Dad, war is Starship Troopers, I would punt my kid into an ocean full of alligator robot flower monsters.
All right. We've been trying to end this podcast for the past, like, 5 minutes.
It's just war, man.
It's just war.
It never ends.
That's right. So we got the email out of the way. Get in contact with us.
Yeah.
Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Coming soon. Fiveplay.net, oneofus.net.
Yeah.
What's left?
I think it's just for us to say goodbye.
Well, as always, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was Five.
And we're out!